for the house of God. Amen.
Amen.
And in the house of God is the people of God. See, this is just a building if you ain't here. Amen. But thank God you're here, because you're the ones that make it. Praise the Lord. We're going to be in Romans for a week. And I'm not going to preach anything that you don't already know. How about that? Say, preach, I want something new, No, you don't need nothing new. We need to rehash what we've already learned in our days. Amen. We need to go back over some principles and some things that the Lord God showed us previously, all right? So you're going to hear stuff that you're going to say, man, I wish he'd say something I didn't. Forget that, okay? Just pretend like you never heard it before the first time and just receive it. Because I'm telling you point blank, we're going to need it within the next 6-8 months. There ain't no telling what they got cooking under the table yonder in them rooms where the doors are shut. There ain't no telling what's coming at us. The only indication we got that there's something going on is what this book says will happen in the last days. Now, I know the news broadcast tell you this, that, and the other, but I'm just telling you point blank. The stuff that they don't tell you is what's going on. And God Almighty tells you what that is.
Amen.
You've got to stay in the book. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're looking at Romans chapter 11 with me. Let's stand together. All right. Reading the piece of Bible here that we're going to deal with for the week. The context is Israel. I know that. Okay. The context is Israel. The Apostle Paul is writing chapter 1 to all that be in Rome, called to be saints. Okay. He's writing to everybody. So if he's calling to all, then I'm going to take some of that myself and put some application to it. I'm a saint, and so I can make it work. But he's talking to Israel in Romans 11, and he says these words in 25 and following. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them. He's writing to the Roman saints, but he's talking about what God did with Israel. This is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as in time past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy, they also may obtain mercy. See, it just fits all the way around. All we got to do is just do what God says. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief. Why did he do that? That he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. Why did God do that? How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Why'd God do that with Israel? You'll never know. It's none of our business why. It's our business to believe it and accept it and believe that our God makes no mistakes, nowhere, no way, shape, or form. So what he did with Israel, if he hampered them, amen. If he blessed them, amen. If he feeds them, hallelujah. If he starves them to death, if he calls the Philistines on them to beat the devil out of them, or Chaldeans to beat the devil out of them, that's God's will. That's how it is. See, my family, we got to trust God. We have to trust God's doing right. And we have to trust God's doing right in 2020. In spite of all that's going on around us, God is doing right.
Amen.
Father, I love you today. And I ask you, my Jesus, to just take a week here and just explain, Lord, what we're supposed to know. There's a lot that we're never going to know here, but we'll find out later. But Lord, what we're supposed to know now, so that we could live good now here, Father, all the way to the rapture of the church, Father, I'm asking you to show it to us as much as we can absorb. We're on different levels of spirituality in this room, Lord. Some can catch it fast. Some will not catch it until later on when they reponder it. Whatever, we need you, Lord, to speak to us. And so I give myself to thee as the spokesperson. You do the talking. I'll be the mouth. Lord, you'll take this word of God, which is the water. I'll be the glass, but you pour it on the thirsty. And so, Heavenly Father, the lost need to be saved. The saved need to be instructed and helped and encouraged and strengthened and exhorted and rebuked and whatever. And so, Heavenly Father, here we are. Thank you for letting us be your children. And thank you for being our Father. In this great army, Lord, we need thy command. So give it to all the true men of God as they preach today. Protect them, Lord, from those who are anti-Christ, anti-church. Protect them, watch over them, help them. Heavenly Father, in these last moments of time, may your children draw ever closer to thee. I pray for it in the name of Christ. Amen, my Father. Amen. You may be seated, family. As we just kind of this morning, I'm just going to kind of lay a foundation down for the week of preaching this week, if I may, this morning. Just something you and I can set on, something you and I can stand on just for a few days. We'll not be long. We're starting this morning, are we not? But the next time you blink your eyes, it'll be Saturday. Tomorrow's June. It was just in January the other week, but now tomorrow's June. The other day I was a teenager, and a month from now I'll be 70. Now you figure all that out, okay? I can't figure out how it goes, but it's a vapor. Appears for a little while and vanisheth away. I'm looking at people now. There was a little bitty girl, a little 7-year-old girl at the campground over there. And, when we pulled in there, she said, "We're going to be here 4 days. Can I help you?" I said, "Well, no, not really. I think I can handle this." And she said, "Well, that's good." She said, "My name's Lydia." I said, "I'm glad of that." And she said, "You know, I'm 7. I said, "Well, I'm glad you are too." Little old cute little red-headed chubby thing. And I said, "I got great grandkids your age." She went, "How old are you?" I said, "Old enough to have great grandkids your age, sweetheart." See, my dear family, tomorrow she'll be a grown up. If Jesus don't come, tomorrow she'll be a grown up. But we notice our time goes by so quickly that we don't really catch some of it. We're living in a strange day. This is not the America we grew up in, fellas. This is not the America we went to school in our early days. This is not the same America of 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 40 some years ago when some of us started in the ministry. It's not even the same America that we started in the ministry with. It's changing rapidly right before our very eyes, just like God's Bible said it would. And in that changing, we need to understand some things that God wants us to figure out in this Bible. Go with me, if you will, please, first of all, to Ephesians chapter 3. And let me show you here what Paul was trying to tell the Roman church in verse 25. "I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits." We find Israel, who are the chosen of God, physically chosen of God. Am I right about it? We find that the Bible declares that unto them were committed the oracles of God. They were supposed to take the Word of God and bring it to us. They were supposed to tell us about the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But in Ephesians chapter 3, my dear family, I want you to see here what the Apostle Paul, writing to this great church, says in verse 5 and following. He says, which in ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, gifts and calling. The gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. The Apostle Paul is trying to tell the Ephesian church there was a mystery for a long time. But now the mystery is over because God Almighty has revealed to us that the Gentiles are supposed to get saved too. And so as Apostle Paul was a missionary, if you will, the ambassador, if you will, to the Gentiles, as Peter was to the Jews, we find the Apostle Paul, as he'd go every chance he had, every time he did, he'd go into the synagogue and deal with the Jews, and when they rejected him, he'd turn his tail and go outside and he'd head to the Gentile crowd. And in the Gentile crowd, my dear family, you and I ought to thank God because somebody got saved and went west. And as they went west, they kept going west. And they jumped the creek over there at the channel and got up in England. And England had a bunch of Gentiles get saved. Are you listening to me? And they at one time spread the gospel all over everywhere. And somebody decided one time, we can't stand all of this. And so they jumped over there in the Holland country and all of that. Y'all know this stuff. And they got out of there and got on a little old bitty boat that you and I wouldn't get on Lake Seneca Lake on. And they come all the way across the ocean, and you and I got saved because somebody landed on the East Coast.
Amen. Yeah, that's right.
So what are you saying? I'm saying it used to be a mystery. But it ain't a mystery now.
Yeah.
For God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That includes us Americans.
Right.
And if you'll follow that gospel right now, that gospel's now somewhere over there really hot and heavy, just west of the Philippines. You do know that one day there's going to be a bunch of preachers running around Israel, do you not? They're going to be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ over there in Israel.
Right.
You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying the gospel's been marching west since Jesus.
Right.
And as it marches west, my dear family, more Gentiles, more Gentiles, more Gentiles, more Gentiles get saved by the grace of God. God don't want no one to die and go to hell, so he made sure for all could get it. So he's sending it to everybody. And according to Romans chapter 1, my dear family, even if there ain't a human somebody, God himself witnesses to the lost. And so what we're trying to get you to understand is this. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He don't take back what he gives us. A gift is something that's bestowed upon us. He gave a gift to the grace of God over there. Look at me, please, in Psalm 14. Now again, remember this morning, all right, I'll preach after a while, but I want to just lay down something to stand on for a few minutes, and then we'll put all the toppings on it the rest of the day, starting tonight, okay? In Psalm 14, here's what God's Bible says. You say, preacher, why did you say that? Well, the verse 27 in our text says, for this is my covenant unto them. Psalm 14, oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. When the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. When the salvation of Israel will come. The salvation of Israel did come. The salvation of Israel is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now they don't believe that. For the majority now, they don't believe that, okay? They don't believe Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Some of them are still looking for the Messiah, but they missed him. They missed the time of their visitation. He visited them, all right? 3 years he visited them. 3.5 years of real intense public ministry. He visited Israel. He went everywhere. Doing what? Talking about himself. Talking about the Father. Telling them what they need to do. And Israel missed it. The reason they missed it, because the religious crowd continually kept after them. And interfered and got in the way. Are you listening to me? Even today when someone tries to get to Christ, there are false Christs that stand up before him. in the religious world. Are you listening to me? Well, yeah, that's all fine and dandy. Like the Jews would say, listen, if you ain't circumcised, you ain't going to get it. But today, if you ain't baptized, you ain't going to get it. And if you ain't a member of this certain church, you ain't going to get it. And if you can't speak in tongues, you ain't going to get it. And if you ain't got the second blessing, you ain't going to get it. And on and on and on and on. The false Christ stand up and keep a sinner away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And because sinners don't know any better, my love, okay, that sounds logical to me. Okay, I'll do that. But they find out it's an empty. It's an empty. Listen to me. It's a bucket that's empty. After a while, it brings no peace. After a while, it brings no hope. After a while, it brings no joy. Are you listening to me? They get in the so-called churches of our day, and they look around their family, and they find no one in there that's got any power. No one in there that's got any victory. No one in there that's got any help. And they get in there, and they just end up dead, dry, and divided. Are you listening to me? Seneca Falls, New York, has hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who used to be in church. But then they found out there was nothing there. It was an empty shell, because there was no Christ. And when they got sick of all of that, instead of going to another church, they just quit church altogether.
Come on.
Our land is filled with people who used to go to church. But there was such a bunch of lies and junk and hypocrisy in there. I am not going to sit all night Saturday night with that bunch and then go to church with them on Sunday morning. And so they just give out church altogether.
Right.
We're living in a very odd and strange day. God Almighty promised Israel, this is my covenant, back in Romans 11, this is my covenant. In verse 26, we find the Lord quoting, if you will please, and Paul writing, the Isaiah 59, 20, and 21 text. Romans 11, 26. So all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer. You say, preacher, he done did that. Why ain't they saved? They will be. God Almighty says they will be. And when God says that, mark it down. It's going to happen. They're going to get saved. You listen to me? Israel's going to get saved. They're not going to reject Jesus Christ for all eternity. They're going to get saved. You say, how do you know? God said so. That's all I need to have, is He said it. It's all I've got to have. You say, preacher, what about this? And what about that? And what about the way they treat you? Whoa. Don't believe Israel. Believe God. Don't believe the religious world. Believe God. Don't believe those who are antichrist. Believe God. You always have to get back to God if you're going to live through this. You and I won't live through this if we don't get back to believing God. I got a point. Stay with me. I got a point coming. This covenant, this promise that God Almighty, 2 Corinthians 1 says what? All the promises of God are yea and amen. What's he saying? Titus 1 says what? A God who cannot lie. So we've got a God who cannot lie. His promises are yea and amen. And you and I serve this God that cannot lie. You and I love this God that cannot lie. You and I have the God's book that He wrote down for us in our language. We have that which God wants us to have. Now, we haven't been blessed like Simeon of Luke 2. You know, in Luke 2, there was an old man at church one day in the temple. And Joseph and Mary brought in the child Jesus, and Simeon held him up in his arms.
Yeah.
He said, I've seen thy salvation. I've seen thy salvation. And now, matter of fact, I want you to realize something right now. You and I have not seen him with our naked eye as of yet, but we watched him in our eye of faith. We've seen him go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We've watched him leave in Acts chapter 1. We've seen him in the Old Testament come up and talk to Abraham. We watched him blow the battles over there with Joshua. We watched him do all the things that he did in the Old Testament before he showed up. John the Baptist says, he's a coming. You ready? And a little while later, here he comes. I'm just telling the gang, you and I have watched him all these many years. And yet, man struggles with believing what God's given us. Do you understand what a gift it is to have the Word of God in our own language? Boy, I preach it all the time. I said, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. I don't have to learn Hebrew and Greek.
Amen.
Preacher, ain't nothing wrong with that. It'll help you understand the tense and the past tense and the future tense and the pretense.
Amen.
English is good enough for me. Amen. Listen, English is higher than my hick. You'll get that out of the way. This is my covenant concerning the gospel. They're enemies for your sakes, but as touch of the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. This blessing that God give us, this honor that God give us, this gift that God give us first, this gift of eternality. It's an amazing thought. Every conceived child has a start. I said every conceived child, not every born child. So the baby murderers are wrong. I won't name them. But I'm just telling you, they ain't right. Okay? And God have mercy on them when they get to judgment. And God says, I'm going to show you all them babies you murdered. And he said, all right, children, stand up. So, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this thing about eternality. It's a perpetual. According to the dictionary, it's something that now God has both sides of it. You and I have a start. But we have no end. I used to tell them on the streets all the time, I said, do you understand you're going to live somewhere forever? And it's high time you quit fighting God and fussing about God and fuming about God. And it's high time you realize that one of these days you're going to settle your forever, forever, and that's where you're going to be.
Right.
He that is filthy, let him be filthy still, God says in Revelation. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying one of these days every man, woman, boy, or girl is going to stop this life, and then what they have done with this life, they're going to seal their forever with. I know. I was thinking about those in hell the other day. I hate the thought of that, but it's a fact. And I was thinking about some of our relatives that have died and went there. And some of our relatives are going to die and go there. And I got bothered about 1 second after they died. See, I had an aunt, and she loved Jesus. All right, don't get me wrong. My aunt Peg loved Jesus. And she wanted to be with her husband and the Lord the other day. Well, that's triggered me to thinking about those who ain't going to heaven but going to hell. And so I was thinking about what they're thinking right now. I was thinking about how long some of them has been there and realizing that that is their eternal destiny. Thought about a rich man, Luke 16. He's been there since Luke 16. I was thinking about the braggarts and the boasters. I was thinking about Adolf Hitler killing all them God's people. His physical people. Murdering millions. Stalin murdering millions of his own. Pol Pot murdering millions in the Middle East, bragging about it, laughing, joking, inventing new ways to torture somebody to death. But the second they died, God looks at you and I with a promise. He says, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Can you imagine? We have eternity. The gift of eternity we carry in our hearts and minds. The gift of knowing that we don't never have to die without Jesus. No matter how we leave this world, rapture or the graveyard, cancer or car wreck, heart attack, or just laying there going to sleep, we will one day wake up in the presence of Jesus. See, when Christ came to that cross, it was not just blood in them veins He had. He had promise of eternality in them veins. Because in that blood is the forgiveness of all unrighteousness, according to that book. And as that forgiveness came from the Lord Jesus Christ, that promise, my dear family, has been flowing and flowing and flowing and flowing. See, love, I'm telling you right now, He is not done bleeding.
Yeah.
Okay. We're not talking about physical blood here now. We're talking about the blessed blood of Jesus Christ that He did shed physically. But also there's the other, my dear family, that God has promised us that we are going to be cleansed from all unrighteousness and all of our sin and freed from the wrath of God because Christ took that wrath for us. And in that gift, which you and I did not earn, in that gift, that wages of sin was death, but the gift of God is eternal life.
Yeah.
In that gift, we hold every piece of future that we can imagine. Listen to me now. Every piece of future of my life, which is an unending life, is in that eternal gift that Jesus gave me. No matter how far I look out ahead of me, I still see Jesus there. No matter how far ahead of myself I look, I still see the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all unrighteousness. No matter how far I go, I see eternality. I see the forever of my existence. One day I will drop this. Brother Jim, I'll drop this down and pick up that other one. That other one on the orange side, listen to me closely now, we say, well, we won't have no more pain. I understand all that. But I'm looking forward to getting in that other. You know why? Because I'm going to be able to look at my Savior.
Yeah, that's right.
Which I haven't been able to do with this body.
Yeah.
But with that glorified body, I'll have eyes that won't melt out of my head if I see Him. Gift of God. He had promised Israel a deliverer. He promised in verse 27 there, He said, I shall take away their sins. We find ourselves looking at Jesus. We find ourselves looking at God. And my family, listen to me. Can you and I in 2020, this is May 31, 2020, can you and I take the covenant, the promise, the blessing of God and say, listen to me, I know what's going to happen in the future in my life. He said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying, whoa, stay with me now. Hang tight, all right? Death is not our Savior. You hear me? So, well, since I get dead, I'll be done sinning. Whoa, you better get back up to Jesus Christ. Amen. Death is not the Savior. You say, well, preacher, when I die, I'll finally quit sinning. Well, let me tell you something. You will, but I want you to right now. You don't have to sin now. Death is not, my family, your cleanser. It ain't your Savior and it ain't your cleanser. He said, preacher, well, I believe I'll be better off on the other side. Well, we all be better off on the other side. But a lot of folk, my dear pastor, boy, when I die, I'll be clean and I'll be holy. And that's a fact. But I'm going to tell you right now, what are they doing with Jesus today?
Yeah.
Is there not an eternal promise living in your hearts this morning? Is there not a covenant with God? Is there not a promise from God? Is there not something that God has already given you that you don't have to wait till you die to be clean? You don't have to wait till you're dead to be saved. My dear family, you can stand right up today and say, listen, I belong to God. I'm a child of the King. I've been saved by the grace of God. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. My hope and help is in Him, not in my grave.
Amen.
The gift. Sometimes we forget what special thing this gift really is. Listen to this thought, if you will, please. 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible says, so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. What are you saying? Remember when you first started understanding a little bit about God? Remember when the Holy Ghost witnessed to your spirit that you were a child of God? The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Remember when God Almighty finally dawned on you that you and God could communicate and you had some understanding? There's a lot of things He keeps to Himself, and we'll get it after a while. But there's a whole lot of life by family that God's given us since we've been saved by the grace of God that we had no clue. You know why? The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God before he's saved by the grace of God. He cannot know them, the book says. But since you've been saved, you've been made a quickening spirit. You're alive unto God. You're alive to the ways of the Lord. God has blessed you and helped you. You say, what's that? That's that gift of that eternal inside of you. It's churning and working and teaching and showing and admonishing and correcting and exhorting and rebuking day after day after day. It's not a dead weight we carry around. It's a live God inside of us.
Amen.
It's not a little bitty God that grows as we grow. It's a full-grown God that moves in even to a child. A full-grown God moves into that child and starts to train him and show him, this is of God and this is of the devil. This is of God and this is of the world. This is of God and this is of man. And the Holy One trains us, that quickening spirit, trains us on what this Bible says. We don't get it. First verse sometimes. Listen, I've been at this thing 43 years now, trying to learn how to preach for 43 years, and I'm telling you, point blank, my dear family, there's a lot of that Bible that I may not quite understand completely, and I don't say, whoa, I must be some kind of a dumb head. No, I just back over to what I do know and try to live right where I'm at. And it's that quickening spirit that I got from that eternality that got me that gift. I can listen, and I don't do it, don't get me wrong. I don't have a television, so I wouldn't listen to them if I did have one. But sometimes when I'm down at my dad's place, the only thing he ever listens to is MSNBC. And about 5 minutes of that, I said, please turn that off. But I can take what they're saying. And the quickening spirit that I got out of my eternality says that's totally anti-Christ. I'd have never thought that before I got saved. I'd have never known that before God saved me. I'd have never known that before eternity come on my mind. But since I got that, the Holy One is showing me and teaching me and showing me the things of eternality that I need to understand. Go with me to John chapter 3 for a minute. John chapter 3, if you will, please talk about this gift of eternity. Eternality, I'm sorry. John chapter 3, verse 15 and following. This is what God's Bible said. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. I told you I ain't preaching nothing new. I'm just rehashing what you already know. But God's Bible says, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. I feel sorry for the crowd that's saved today and loses it by Tuesday morning. They've got no hope, no help. I've noticed something about some of that crowd, my dear family. They have church on Tuesday and Thursday because they can't go more than 2 days without church because they might lose it. We're kept by the power of God. You and I are in the Savior's hand. You and I are in the Father's hand, and no man can pluck us out of that hand. And what God did was He put an eternality on us, my dear family, that mankind cannot understand. They cannot understand living forever. They cannot understand how we with confidence could just trust God. No matter what they do in D.C., no matter what they do in Albany, no matter what they do down in Richmond, no matter what they do in this state and that state, no matter what they do in Europe, no matter what they do in China, no matter what they do in America, we could just stand as calm as we can and say, listen, I'm eternal. So, preacher, what if they come and what if they do this and what if they do that? The worst they can do is knock my soul into heaven. That's the worst they can do. Preacher, what if they put you in a chair? What if they put you in a noose? What if they put you in a cell? What if they never feed you again? By and by, my eternality will deliver me from this body. And I will be with my God, absent from the body, present with the Lord. He said, preacher, yeah, but I'm not looking towards the suffering and all that either, okay, like everybody else. I'm just as human as you are. But my family, there's a hope that lies within me. Christ in you, the hope of glory, tells me that no matter what, how, when, or where this all happens, I inevitably will be with Jesus Christ on the other side. For God so loved the world. I was part of that world. I was part of the God-rejecting world. Are you listening to me, gang? I was part of that God-rejecting world. My cousin who wants to get up with us, Pete and Peg's kids, they want to get up with us and they want to talk about some experience that we had with their mom and dad. Pete Balsley was the first man that ever witnessed to me. My mom drugged me off to a Camelback church when I was little. And when my dad decided not to go, I decided not to go either. So I didn't go to church for a long time. Michael Pete came to the house and was witnessing to me. And I went to the refrigerator and got a beer out and went over there and offered him a beer. That's how vile I was at 16 years old. Later on in New Philadelphia, Ohio, he came to hear me preach. And the Holy Ghost said, you're going to apologize to your uncle before you say a word. I said, Uncle Pete, I want to say I'm sorry for offering you a beer that day. So many years ago, he just smiled, never said a word. What are you saying? He came and told me of a Christ. He came and told me of a Savior. He came and told me of one who had a gift in his hand. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. Oh, I rejected it at 16. I refused it at the truck stops where they had the chapels. I'd walk by and laugh. Look at them fools going in there listening to some knucklehead preach. What a dummy. But oh, that night in June, 1977. Yeah, what can I do for you? We've come to talk to you. We're from the First Baptist Church. What's the kids done? Nothing. We've come to talk to you. And from Genesis to Revelation, they showed me the gift. It was not an it. It was a him. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, he says in John. They didn't say if you get it, you'll be okay. They said if you receive him, he is the gift. In him is eternity. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever, even a drunk truck driver, if he believed in Jesus Christ, look at it now, believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For John sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. You know why men love darkness rather than light? You know why the politicians of our day and the big boys of our day love their ways so much? Because it feeds their pride. But you take them out of control of their life. Everything's fine and dandy. Then all of a sudden there's just a little uneasiness in the chest. All of a sudden back between the shoulder blades there's a pain. All of a sudden my left arm is feeling funny. They're no longer proud. God reaches in and pulls that pride out of them. When they finally understand they're not in control no more. They ain't in charge of their heartbeat. They're not in charge of their breath. And the pride's drained. It makes room for this gift. You've got it bad and you ain't going to make it out of this. And God strips that pride, that self-control out of them. And the gift can replace it. Are you listening? All across America this morning in church, there are those who are sitting not in a pew. They're sitting in their pride. I don't have to listen to that. I'm not paying attention to that. It don't mean nothing to me. But one day. See, one day, they're... Listen to this closely. They're forever... will be sealed. Lost, doomed, condemned people do not live forever. They exist forever. But if you call going to hell living, you better restructure your brains. They ain't living in hell. Only we that are saved live forever.
Yeah. Amen.
Only you and I who have repented of our sin and trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Only you and I have repented of our rejection of the Son of God and trusted what He did at Calvary for us personally. Ain't nobody else in this whole room but me. I want to get to God. And if you come to God with all your heart, you'll find Him. And when you find God and repent of your sin and trust Him only as your Lord and Savior, He hands you that gift that He paid for. And as He hands you that gift, then you start to live. That crowd that rejects that and dies and goes to the lake of fire are not living. He lifted up His eyes, being in torments. Send somebody, my brethren. Somebody will rise from the dead. They won't believe Him. I ain't saying nobody. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying they're existing down there. Right underneath your feet. Can you believe this? Underneath of the New York dirt is a place called hell where Christ rejectors go. Do you realize that in the state of New York today, somebody will die and go to hell right down through the dirt. They'll go to hell today from New York State. Some will be your family, friends, and neighbors. Some will be maybe, God forbid, your work fellows and family and all that. But I'm just here to tell you right now, gang, you and I have a gift. We have a promise.
Yeah.
Did you ever notice, love, that you didn't take it back?
Yeah.
Right. Did you ever notice you didn't go back to Walmart 3 days out through and exchange it?
Right.
No, sir. There is a value to that gift God gave you that there's no other place in the world has that kind of value.
Amen.
Eternality. God has given us the gift of eternal. Let me give you another thought. To know God, He says in John 17, is the eternal. To know God and the Lord Jesus Christ, this is eternal life. But I want you to go with me to 1 John 5. And I'm going to wrap this thing up and let you loved ones go to house. We're just setting a foundation to stand on for a few days here. 1 John chapter 5. Listen to these words, if you will please, of the Word of God. So, preacher, what are you trying to tell me to understand? I'm trying to get you to understand there is a perpetual blessed, everlasting, eternal gift. And the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. I'll get to the callings at another day, but the gift of eternal today. 1 John, if you will, please, chapter 5, listen to the word of the Lord. Starting in verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. Many times in many churches, I've stopped the services. And I've said, let's take 5 minutes and you just go ask God if you're really saved. Go ask God if you really did get Him. Or you just got it. The it can be taken in and out of your pocket. And if you notice mankind, my dear family, a lot of times they lay it aside. I've watched people in years, my dear family, lay it aside on the Lord's Day. And they've gone and done their own thing. God's Bible says in Isaiah, you ought not do that on the Lord's Day. Isaiah 58. But you can't lay Him aside. It's either, Jesus said, are you either for me or against me? Ain't no middle ground. Ain't no gray. It's black and white. Yay or nay. Let your yay be yay and your nay nay. Not maybe. Not today only. Not Sunday only. Not Sunday and Wednesdays. But the rest of the week is mine. No. We belong to God Almighty or we do not belong to God Almighty.
Amen.
It's that simple. I know, love, that the religious world, you know, wants to butter it all up and all this stuff. I preached this the other night down in Fredonia, and it shook some of them out of their shoes. I took that Bible and read to them, just read the Bible, just read the verses that proved that most of all that they think is saved are not saved at all according to God. The Bible says, has not God.
Right.
Now, if you has not God, you're not saved. Come on, is that
right?
Come on, men. Is that right? You men of God know the Word of God. If you have not God, you're not saved. That's just plain, simple fact, right?
Amen.
Don't matter what they say. Don't matter how they act or live or talk or, you know, pretend. If they have not God, they're not saved according to that book. And I read all of them the other day to that church down there, and I mean, it shook some of them out of their shoes. Because they've got youngins and they've got family members that never darken the doors of the church by their family. They wouldn't come to church if they dead and drug in there on their back. They wouldn't come. And you go talking to them and they ain't no more saved than fly the moon. And they say they're saved, but they will not obey the Lord. If you love me, keep my commandments. You can't be not saved. You can't be saved, I mean. You can't be saved and not love Jesus.
Amen.
If you're saved, you love Jesus Christ. Why? You're appreciative of what He's done. This eternal life does not give an avenue of abuse only to those who are counterfeit. If you read Titus real close, you know what you'll find out? Titus was warned by Paul, beware those counterfeits. How do you know that? Well, they say they know God, but in works they deny Him being abominable. They say they know God, but they're not God's people at all. Why? How do you know they're not God's people? They don't live for God. Let's pretend, all right? I got a job at GM. If you work there, don't get mad at me. I got a job at GM, but I never go. Well, sometimes I go Christmas and Easter. Because I know they're going to give me my bonus and a bottle of booze. Does that mean he works at GM? But that's the way we think in our religious world. This one says, I want Jesus to save me. So, okay, so he prays a little prayer, and he gets up, he walks out the door, and he never shows up again, or once in a blue moon, he shows up again, all week long. Listen to me, not just church time. This does not prove salvation. Okay? This does not prove you're saved because you come to church and thank God you're here. Don't get me wrong, okay? What proves you're saved is you live for God day in and day out. God's people are obedient people. He said here, my dear family, he that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. What's that mean? That means, my dear family, God Almighty says, if you obey me, I'll bless you. And if you disobey me, I'll curse you. He said that to natural Israel. Love, there's a mixed multitude all over the place. Are you listening to me? When we say brethren, that does not necessarily mean everybody there is saved.
Yeah.
That just means there's a bunch of brethren in there, but there's also the mixed in there.
Right. Yeah.
And God said, he told the whole nation, he said, if you obey me, I'll bless you. Right. And you know as well as I, there was Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and all that bunch standing there listening to that.
Yeah,
right? Same way it is today. You say, what are you saying, brother? Oh, well, let's look. And this is the record that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Let me ask you something. Let me ask you. I'm about done. Let me ask you. Who does your living for you? I'll tell you what let's do. Let's let you off the hook, okay? Can I let you off the hook? This is yes instead of Paul, right? Let's go ask Paul. Paul, tell me something. Since Acts chapter 9, who does your living for you? He said, well, look what I wrote to the Galatian church in chapter 2, verse 20. And I'll show exactly who lives for me and who lives in me and why I love him so. And the Apostle Paul gives us an idea about who's doing the living.
Right.
Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me.
That's right.
You say, but, you know, I'm this, I do this. I understand all that, right? That's the way it is. God Almighty wants a light in every facet of human society.
Amen.
But it's still him doing the living. It's him going to work in the morning. Come on now. It's him going to the store tomorrow.
Right.
It's him going to the gas station. He's doing the living. He just lets us tag along.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a blessing.
Yeah.
See, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying, my dear family, this gift of eternal life given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. These things have been written in you that believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know you have eternal life. That you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Preach, I'll tell you right now, I'm kind of confused about it. Every time you preach, I get confused about my life. You can't get confused about eternal life. What you're getting confused about is you're trying to figure out whether you're just surviving or whether you're really saved. Confusion does not come with believing the truth. Confusion comes with trying to believe two or three or four or five, six different things. I don't believe two or three or four or five, six different things. I believe one thing. Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again to save me. I repented of my sin. I went to him with what I had. I said, God, this is all there is to it. Will you please forgive me my sin and save my soul? And God said, I'll do more than that, boy. I'll save your life. I'll save your mind. I'm not going to give you a spirit of fear. I'm going to give you power and love and a sound mind. I'm going to help you day in and day out. I'm not just giving you heaven when you die, boy. I'm going to give you life from this moment on. And ever since that moment, June 20, 1977, me and that little girl right there has had a walk with a God who has promised us eternal. I still got that gift. It ain't got tarnished. It ain't got rusty. Do you understand something today? Some things you just, man, I haven't seen that in 10 years. I wonder where that went. You know, that's just taking up space in a garage. We need to get us a dumpster and clean a garage out. But the gift of God of eternality. The path of the just shineth more and more under the perfect day, not less and less. I'm going to preach it Tuesday, maybe to the men, but I got me a new thought and a new theory going on. And I'm here to tell you right now, I'm kind of worried about some of y'all that's getting dull. Y'all hear that? It's good country terms. I'm worried about some of y'all that's getting dull. When you look at that gift of eternal life, and it don't thrill your soul. You look at that gift of eternal life, you ain't never going to hell. Come on, smile a little bit at me. You ain't never going to hell. Does anybody believe that? You ain't never going to hell. You hear me? I don't care what they tell you at work. They tell you to go there, so I can't. I got saved by the grace of God. Jesus died on the cross and rose again and saved me. I can't go there. Well, you're going to get COVID-19 and you're going to die suffocating. Well, I might do that, but I ain't going to hell after I die. I'm going to heaven because Jesus died for me. If that gift has grown dull and lifeless and useless to you, I have a fear you may not have Him. You may only have it. Tell me how Christ could tarnish. You mean to know, is brass not a type of substitute? Brass left alone in the humidity does what? Have you ever known the Savior to be left alone except one time? Right or wrong? Father reached down into the world, grabbed my sin and yours, cast it behind His back on the man on the center cross. The only time in all eternity that Jesus Christ was ever alone. Our substitute. Brass, all polished up, looks real similar to gold. But it ain't. But when Christ... Now, I don't know whether He just did this or He just said, "Stone, get out of my way." I don't know what He did when He came out that grave, but all I know is this. He did not come out brass. He came out gold. He doesn't need to go through the crucible to burn off the dross. God does not need to put Him through it all so He can see His own reflection in it. The Father simply turns to His right hand and says, "Son." And the Son turns to His left hand and says, "Father." And they look at each other and there's not a blemish, there's not a speck, there's not a speck of dross, there's not a... There's nothing. He says, I want you to give eternal life to as many as will believe. I want you to take my gift. Come on, baby. I want you to take my gift down there and I want you to give it to as many as will believe it. The preacher doesn't come. Come on now. He doesn't come. I know that. But He told His men, He said, "I'll send Him. And He'll guide you in all truth. He'll glorify Me. He'll show you the way." And the Lord sent the Holy One. And He came to my place June 20, 1977. The Spirit of the living God and two fleshly men came to my place. And the Holy Ghost said, "I have a gift for you if you want it." And I said, "What is that gift?" And the Holy Ghost said, "Him. Eternality. I'll take it." That gift has shined. And that gift has gotten better. That gift has brought more relief. That gift has brought more hope. That gift has brought more provision. Anything I could ever dream of getting. They say Bill Gates is the richest man in the world. But they don't know the richest man in the world. Because the richest man in the world is every child of God that's been born again by the grace of God. Way more than Bill Gates is billions and zillions and zillions. More than George Soros is billions. Because he, who was rich, was made poor so that you and I can become rich. Heads about, eyes are closed. Preacher, I'm existing, but I want to be eternal. I want him, preacher. Would you pray for me, preacher? I want to be eternal. I want that gift of eternality. I want that gift of forever with God. I don't want just to survive. I don't want just to spend my forever existing. I want my forever to be eternal. Preacher, I'm lost and I know it. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? I am without Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I need saved and I know it. You raise your hand, I'll be praying for you. I ain't gonna come to you. I ain't gonna embarrass you. I ain't gonna bother you one lick. I just want you to be honest, preacher. I don't live for God. I don't have a relationship with Jesus. Pray for me. I'm lost, preacher. Come on, raise your hand. Okay, praise the Lord for that. Not one hand. I'm glad of that. I pray it's really true. But only God knows, and you. But I want to ask you this. Are you walking in the gold, or is your brass a little tarnished? Preacher, my Christian life is a little tarnished. I need some help. I need some polishing. I need to go. God bless you, sister. I need to get in the crucible of Jesus. I need him to burn off some dross. I see some things in my life. God bless you, girls. I need to see some things in my life that I know that God's not pleased with. I need to clean up my act, preacher. God bless you, sister. Come on, is there any... God bless you, men. Thank you, men, finally coming on. God bless you, men. Don't listen, it ain't just the women folk that need help. Us men folk need God's crucible too. Are you willing to take that gift and get in the crucible yourself, or were you wanting Jesus to put you in it? Knowing you're eternal, would you be willing to volunteer to get in it yourself? Lord, cleanse me. Lord, I'm willing to give it up. Set fire to it and I'll give it up, Lord Jesus. Reveal it to me what displeases you, what grieves you, and I'll give it up. Are you willing to get in it yourself, or are you going to make him put you in? He will remove the dross. God bless you. Father, this great group of people, my Father, I've heard your word. I've just laid a foundation this morning. We'll get into the more meat of it tonight. Some of your choice of servants in here, Father's got some things that they need to fix. And so I'm asking you, Lord God, to give them strength and courage to get out of their whatever and get in the crucible. Let you turn the fire up a little bit and get rid of the impurities that, Father, hinder them from enjoying this eternality that you've given us. Father, polish us again, I pray. They're still lost, Father, they need to be saved. But polish the saint, I ask, so that when you look at us, you see yourself. In Jesus' name I praise you. Amen. See you.
Peace like a river is flooding my soul.
Come on, my family.
Since Christ the Savior has made my life whole. Sweet peace abiding my portion shall be. Jesus, my Savior, is precious to me. I love you, Lord Jesus, with all of my heart. I love the Lord Jesus, with all of my heart. For dying on Calvary, for giving me victory, I love the Lord Jesus, with all of my heart. Joy is abounding, my heart gladly sings, heading toward heaven on eagle's strong wings. Christ has redeemed me, my soul he set free. Jesus, my Savior, is precious to me. I love the Lord Jesus with all of my heart. I love the Lord Jesus with all of my heart.
Don't you love him?
For dying on Calvary, for giving me victory. I love the Lord Jesus with all of my heart. Oh, precious Jesus, how lovely thou art. Come in thy fullness and rule in my heart. Break every fetter, thy face let me see. Thou shalt forever be precious to me. I love you, Lord Jesus, with all of my heart. I love you, Lord Jesus, with all of my heart. For dying on Calvary, for giving me victory. I love you, Lord Jesus, with all of my heart.
Look up here, family. We're doing good. I think we're 28 after 12. Man, what a blessing. And you don't have to get in a hurry about going to a restaurant because there ain't none open. I used to preach until quarter to one. That way you got in after the religious crowd and got in before my dear black people. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to just ponder, think, meditate on what this gift I have really is to me.
Yeah.
Take it with you home today. Eat it for lunch. Sleep on it in your nap. Wake up with that gift and look at it again and say, wow, I'm eternally saved. Man, I get to go to heaven when this is over. Praise the Lord. Maybe I'll get to go today.
Yeah.
Because that's what eternity does. It keeps you cheerful. Come on, preacher. I'm finished.